right. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, I got a message here from a listener on Facebook. Let me get to it here now. It's a request from Rosie. And it says, Greg, could you play a request, please? A congratulations and the very best wishes on their wedding day to Daniel McLaughlin and Helen McElhinney, who are getting married in Creasla today, from all his work colleagues in Chalburn. I'm more than happy to do so. And Rosie, you say I don't play requests. I do. I'm not boring and all serious all of the time. Of course we'll play requests. I'm more than happy to do so. And we've got a lovely giveaway too, in fact, today. We are going to be giving away today, thanks to our friends at McGee's Chemist, because this week, all this week on the 9 till noon show, we've got a hamper worth over €500. It's going to be won today, and it is courtesy of McGee's Chemist, physically in Letterkenny, online at mcgees.ie. And I'll just remind you what's in the hamper, because it's lovely. You get a 20 by 16 gallery wrapped canvas, so you can have your favourite photo wrapped in canvas and hung on the wall. It looks lovely. A large blank canvas purple three-piece gift set, a Be Perfect muted palette, a Jimmy Choo ladies fragrance. We also have a large... we also have a black canvas 12-piece gold makeup brush set and a Clarence Christmas hamper. So that's all in the hamper. And today is our daily prize day as well, of course. And we've got a 50ml Chanel Allure Homme Sport EDT spray for men. That's how it's marketed, but you can use it whichever way you wish. So it's a very simple one. We want you to text your name, where you're from, and your number to 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp or text. It's the exact same for both. All the names go into the one hat, okay? So WhatsApp and text your name, where you're from, and your telephone number, and one of you will be drawn at random, and you'll come on air and answer a simple question. It's just unravel a piece of Christmas music. It'll be easy enough. Don't worry about it. And you'll win the daily prize. Then we put your name in with the four other daily prize winners, and then one of you, and it could be the same prize today or yesterday or the day before, will win the €500 hamper as well. Isn't that exciting? Also, in the last hour of the show, we have our latest €1,000 giveaway as part of our car draw. So, of course, the car draw was €10 per ticket, 6 for 50, 10 for 80. You can still get them now. But as a bonus, that's what people were buying in for. But as a bonus, and just as a thank you, we've thrown an extra bit on top. Okay, so it is about the car. Okay, that's what the tickets are there for. But as an extra thank you and to thank you for your support, we decided then to add in a grand a day. €10,000 is going to be won over the course of 10 working days. €3,000 was won yesterday afternoon. €1,000 was won on Monday, if my memory serves me correctly. And we're going to give €1,000 away today between 11 and 12. That is if the person answers their phone. That is what we want. If not, it rolls over to a later date. So, or we'll have an option to give it away today. And if not, it will roll over to Monday, right? Later. So if you haven't got a ticket yet for the car, and it's all about the car, it's a €30,000+ car. The tickets are only a tenner. But you can get your tickets now and then be in the chance to win a further 6K that is going to be given away between now and next Friday. So get involved if you can. Right, on to the comments now. A caller says, I'm kind of sick of this narrative that everyone who destroys their documents is doing so because they're trying to somehow game the system. A lot of asylum seekers do this because they're terrified that their own country's officials they're fleeing from will get them when they land. I'm not saying nobody tries to game the system, but that point should be made. Yes, indeed, and all points should be made. There's not a particular approach here we take on this programme and never will at all. So, Pete, if you have a view, you don't have to put caveats on it. All views are very, very welcome here, by the way, and many people would agree with you. Morning, Greg. We don't have facilities for Irish citizens, so the government needs to sort the problem out first before allowing any more people into Ireland. Thank you. Dahi on Facebook says, no more open borders. Irexit EU. Well, Dahi, that's really why people in Britain thought they were leaving the EU, to take back control of their borders. It simply hasn't worked. To the point whereby they're trying to introduce a system to deport people to Rwanda, and they've paid Rwanda an absolute fortune. They haven't sent one person to Rwanda yet, and the boats keep coming, as they say over there, and immigration is as big an issue as it ever was. So I don't see how Irexit would achieve what Brexit didn't achieve for the British. It's an easy fix. Send all illegal Jordans, Albanians, Algerians, and those from non-conflict countries home. That way we can help those from Ukraine and other places. It's a tough decision, but one that has to be dealt with. Another good morning, Greg. The government has said to air companies to let them come the government has said to airlines to let people come if they have an out-of-date passport, a national ID, or even a birth cert. What picture is on a birth cert? How do these representatives not know this? How would you even get through security on the other side, though, regardless of what an airline might look for? I don't think I could get to the gates of any airport, get to the gates with any airport with just a national ID or an out-of-date passport. I mean, there has to be such a chain of events that would allow you to get to the actual boarding of a plane where the airline takes responsibility. So I'm not quite sure about that or how that works. What ordinary working people can't understand is, where is all the money coming from? The government has an endless pot of money to accommodate all these immigrants, give them endless benefits, and we never and definitely now don't have the means to look after the natives. What's the hidden agenda? Well, there's not, in terms of looking after the natives, it's not money, folks, please. And I've made this point 1,000 times, it's not money. This country is awash with money. Literally last month, it's like, wow, okay, an extra 5 billion? No problem, brilliant. We've got loads of money, so much money that we really can't spend it on short-term spending. They're having to bank it for a rainy day and put it away somewhere, or increase the write-down of our debt. This country is awash with money, but it's not being spent at the level some would like to see it spent. I was beside a person from Ukraine in the post office yesterday, and she lifted over €1,000 in payments. Somehow I doubt the pensioner behind me lifted anywhere near that. Hi, Greg. Parv McLaughlin said JP McManus should be here paying his taxes. Sure, the government won't take the taxes from the big companies even after they go out to court about it. So fair play to JP, and I think obviously you're talking about the Apple billions there. It would help if Deputy McLaughlin actually answered one of the questions put to him, says another. What is Parv McLaughlin's view on Sinn Féin's 10-point plan on immigration? The plan states that there should be no upper limit on the number of asylum seekers allowed into Ireland, removes the Dublin Protocol, which is an international agreement requiring asylum seekers to claim asylum in the first EU country they land in, and immediately providing international protection status, allowing them full access to social welfare services, including houses. This is Sinn Féin policy, and that's what I was saying, is the messaging is really quite unclear to me. And listening to Deputy McLaughlin, I said, well, why is that not the messaging nationally? He says, perhaps it should be, but that is the policy nationally. So Deputy McLaughlin just said he'd like all Irish people to pay taxes in Ireland. Is he suggesting that he feels the US system should be introduced, where all people holding US passports pay a level of income tax to the US, regardless of what country they live or are resident in? Should Irish citizens working abroad pay tax for the honour of holding an Irish passport? Another here. I'm sure JP's accounts are all above board. Yes, indeed. No, what he's doing is, anyone can do it if they're resourced. That's not an issue. I'm sure JP's accounts are all above board. The GEA will rightly say thank you and use it to benefit what was specified. We should all say thank you and be happy for their good fortune. Perhaps they will be sympathetic to those of us who would like to support games, etc., with our cash, not card or online capers. Yes, indeed. And I did put that point to Mary Coughlin yesterday, that, you know, people want to pay cash at turnstiles. You can pay cash, unless they change it this year, for league games. A dispensation was given from Croke Park to county boards for that. Mary Coughlin, yesterday, the impression I got from her, she says it's complicated. It's not just like it's not just like saying, you know, right, we'll do a cash turnstile for championship matches. She says there are question marks then as it relates to governance and keeping track of that money. I presume that that's what that meant. Right, Kevin from Dunloe, regular contributor during the entertainment slot, but he's dipping his toes in current affairs. I can only assume it's money that may have gone to the Exchequer. It's now gone to a worthy cause that the government don't support, like schools. But it's pot calling kettle black, as the government has sped up the road network for the Ryder Cup in a few weeks, as far as I know, the K Club owned by JP McManus. Eamon Ryan, Minister for Transport and Silly Walks, has denied that preferential treatment was given to the roadworks. Well, it was fast-tracked for that reason. There are Ukrainians returning home because they're from because where they're from, there is no war. I'm wondering why they're here if there is no war. Well, it's like if we were here, and say you lived in Donegal, somewhere in Donegal, and bombs and fighting were happening in Dublin and Cork, right? There was a war raging in Dublin and Cork, and you were here, and drones, there was drone attacks every other night or every other week or whatever it might be in Donegal, but the fighting was down in Dublin and the fighting was in Cork. You'd have to make a decision, right? Because at any point, of course, a bomb could drop here. If we were at war, do you get where I'm coming from? So you have to make a decision. You have to say, right, I'm not right where the war's happening in Dublin and Cork. I'm up in Donegal now. There have been drone attacks which have destroyed some of the infrastructure, and you'd never know when one might hit you. Do I stay here with my three children? Or do I go to Wales where there is no war at all? And that's really what it comes down to, as far as I can see. Good morning, Greg. Read JP McManus, etc. It's my opinion is that anyone who has an Irish passport should pay tax in Ireland. Anyone refusing should have their citizenship removed. Okay. Does the GEA need the money? No. Who does need the money? Homeless, poor and voiceless shelters for men escaping domestic abuse. Selective charity giving is a form of capitalism and means funding is not shared democratically or selectively. However, better than him spending it on the horses. And last one just for now. His donation is only about leaving a legacy for himself and therefore is not heartfelt. If it was, it would be done anonymously. It's a toughie. Maybe he's going to run for president. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Natasha. Natasha, thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Craig. Good morning.
How are you keeping at the moment, Natasha? Because I know you're going through the mill at the moment, and that's why we're speaking to you. How are you feeling?
I'm not good, Greg. I'm actually heartbroken. I'm very, very sick and just weak. And it's just been going on now too long, Greg. 365 days straight now come the 27th of December. I fell down.
Can we go back a bit further to 2014? This is when you first noticed a lump under your tongue. Talk us through that.
2014, I noticed a small lump underneath the left side of my tongue on the floor of my mouth. So my dentist went to him and he wrote a letter and we sent it to my doctor. So I was sent on then the oral Maxil waiting list. Now, I'm very aware that most waiting lists, no matter what it is, can take up to anything to 3 years. So I continued on with life. Small symptoms started to creep into my life, but I didn't put two and two together or connect it. So by the time 2018 came, I got a phone call from a private practice to see if I would take an oral Maxil appointment in Belfast and Hollywood. The Overflow, 353 Overflow is what I remember I was called. So without haste, I took myself up to Belfast and I went to Hollywood and seen a consultant. He didn't take much time. I opened my mouth. It was very, very visible for the eye to see. And he just says, no, it needed to be surgically removed and sent me back to LUH, where I waited another year and a half, year and maybe 3 months before I followed that appointment up again. Now, when I did follow that appointment up again, only to be devastated to find out that I had been removed from the list. Now, I remember going absolutely mental and just could not believe it. I was patiently waiting. I was getting sicker. More symptoms had crept into my life. I had a pain in my neck, back of my throat, in my ear constantly, 24/7, never went away. So I remember my language being very colourful to the lady on the phone, yes. And she ended up not being nice back to me either and hung up the phone on me.
Mm.
But through all them years, Greg, I was still getting the letters that you get on the door. Do you still need your appointment? Do you still need your appointment? And I remember the last one I got in, I put in big black permanent marker, urgently. And the following week, I got another letter in the door to say, do you still need the appointment? So I knew they'd probably scrap that one.
Yeah.
And I ticked the box yes. So without further afield, I was getting very sick and very worried. At this point, the lump was protruding out from underneath the left side of my tongue. And when I was eating, I would accidentally bite into it. Flu-like symptoms had become more prominent in my life. I just was not myself. So I urged my doctor then to reach out. I decided to go down to Dublin, the Dublin route, where I did see a hospital down there, and they monitored me for 6 months, maybe 8 months, up and down to Dublin during COVID. This was all during COVID. Mm. And at the end up, when I was supposed to, I was prepped for a biopsy that morning by this hospital, and at the end up, the consultant decided that it was even too dangerous to do a biopsy because of where it had lay. It had taken up the full floor of the left side of my mouth, and it grew from the front to the back, way back, the back of me, underneath my tongue.
Yeah.
It was explained to me that there was too many nerve endings and tendons, and if they were going to have to do anything, they would have to go and via my side of my neck, which at that point I was like, please do. I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
What way I was, they told me that I was going to end up probably like a stroke victim. Now, I would have been only 39 at that point. So they refused anyway to do the biopsy or to remove the lump. All MRIs were coming up clear, even though it was very visible for the human eye to see. So they.
When you say, why did they refuse it though? Like, why did they refuse?
Because there's too many, Greg, it was that big and that long.
Yeah.
It would have, even this is what I was told, even to do a biopsy, they didn't know, you don't know what nerves you're hitting.
Right, you so you believe they were, you believe at that time they were correct then?
Well, I was very angry and very upset when I came home. But now looking back, I have to respect their decision.
Understood.
Because they didn't want to maim me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you, yeah.
So then they told me that it would be better going private, where they would be able to come in by my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be able to do the procedure through my mouth. So therefore, I wouldn't have a scar on my neck and they wouldn't be cutting into tendons. So I headed off then to a private hospital in the north, cross border. And that's where I got my sublingual gland, and what the lump was a massive lymph node inside fatty tissue that was all removed. So I'd say 6 months passed, and the ear, head, neck, the pain had come back again really, really bad, back
yes.
to oral max. So they said it wasn't, they were happy it wasn't an issue for them. So I would then went to try to get them to, I had to go to ENT. So now I know there's a lot of people in the country very aware that our ENT waiting list is 6 to 7 years. Now, Greg, I am a medical card holder, and I tried to get in through our ENT system here in Donegal. And I pushed myself outside waiting rooms, even if I didn't have an appointment, and it wasn't taken upon nicely. So finally, in a way, I got to see an ENT consultant, and he done his examinations on me, and he found a bruise in my ear. And he opened my mouth and visually looked in and sat back on his chair and said, unfortunately, I fear the worst. I think you've got cancer. Go home, prepare for the worst. They hoped that they were going to be wrong, and they organised a scan to be done within 2 days, and the scan come back clear. Now, at this point, Greg, I know everybody wants a scan to be clear, but I need something to show. I want something to show, so at least then it
can
be
a treatment plan then. You had something, and then we can...
treatment plan there.
Yeah, I get you. I can understand that.
I know. It doesn't
matter
how... Yeah. So I was told then that I was going to put back on the ENT waiting list and be evaluated further on down the line.
So when was that? What year was that, sorry, now that you...
That was... On the 24th of May 2021, I got the sublingual gland and the lump removed under my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the 16th of December 2021, I was going back in for my second surgery to ENT and cross the border. And they removed quite a significant lump from the back of my left tonsil. And it came back that it was reactive tonsil root growing back. I had my tonsils removed when I was 6.
Wow, okay.
And that was all right. Being me, got myself back up on my feet again. I had started up my own wee business, and if I'm being honest, Greg, I did feel signs and symptoms returning again, but I didn't want to acknowledge them. And the family were all so happy. Everybody was happy that Tasha's back again. And I fell sick back down again.
So as well as the growth and the grow back of the tonsils and all that, like your general health, you're sick, aren't you?
Diminished.
And have they told you, have they been able to give you a connection between what caused the operations and your general sense of feeling unwell?
No. As long as the tests come back with no cancer, I've been sent back out the door. Everybody has failed to see how, now people in my locality know how sick I am. I don't even look like myself, Greg. I look and feel like I'm dying.
How would you
even
describe?
Though I don't believe.
How would you describe for someone who's not going through it? How would you describe your day-to-day feeling? Is it like having a very bad flu? Is it lack of energy, or what is your day-to-day life like at the moment, Natasha? If you don't mind me asking,
I don't have a life, Greg. I wake up in the morning and I know before I open my eyes how I feel. I feel weak.
Yeah.
Flu. I feel as if I'm exhausted. I can't. My body feels as if it's given up. That's how I feel. I'm white. Really, really pale. I just, Greg, there's many times now, as horrible as this is to say, I've lay in my sitting room praying to God for someone to remove me from this earth, because the life that I'm leading now is not, it's not a life. It's not even existing.
Now, and you also have to. You also have you also have the concern of your children seeing you like this as well,
yeah,
too, which is,
I'm a mum.
Is very difficult.
I'm a mum. Yeah. My 11-year-old has no hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. My 11-year-old has no hope that I'm ever going to get better, because they're going through the emotions with me. Every hospital I visit, you know, I'm hoping that I'm going to get better and I'm going to come home fixed. And when mommy comes home, devastated and tears crying, this is it's a ripple effect throughout the family, big time. My 11-year-old has said to me, "Mum, your sickness has ruined our lives." That's very hard to take, Greg.
It is.
But they speak the truth.
Of course.
Kids speak the truth.
No filter. They just say what, well, you hope they say what's in their mind. That's what we look from them, isn't it? So we have to take the good with the bad. So what needs to happen next? Okay, so like, you don't have anything life-threatening. So you get the scans, you go, right, listen, I know you don't feel great, Natasha, but the scans are coming back clear. Are people saying this is in your head? Are they saying that maybe it's something else?
Yeah, I have got told that it's in my head. I have been told that I am suffering from depression, which I am not, Greg. I am not, and people who are around me and close to me know I am not depressed.
Yeah.
And I know my own body. And what the good thing is, we all know our own bodies if we choose to listen to them. Now, Greg, what I want to touch on, which is making me, I feel like I got knocked over by a bus when this information has landed on my lap. I've waited 6 years for an oral maxill appointment in LUH whenever the oral maxill clinic doesn't even exist in LUH. If you can believe that.
You're standing at a bus stop waiting on a bus that doesn't exist effectively.
No, it wasn't coming. It wasn't ever coming to me.
Mm.
Now, it's been made aware to me that many attempts have been made to try and rectify this imaginary or non-existent oral maxill clinic in the LUH to the person that has the power to fix it, and it has just been ignored.
Can I ask what oral maxill care is, if you don't mind? Sorry, Natasha.
Well, oral max factor is, if you've any mouth ulcers or lumps or any issues with
anything
your
going
mouth
in there, okay.
Yeah, if the dentist can't sort it, or if the dentist sees anything sinister, that's where they send you to, is the oral maxill clinic.
Okay, I get you. And
so that clinic has never existed in LUH at all. I have been waiting.
Have you had your bloods done or anything? Like, you know,
bloods are done.
I'm not about through HSE. I'm on about, like, say, for instance, I'm not saying it's Lyme's, don't get me wrong, but I'm on about maybe consultants that think a little bit outside the box. Do you know what I mean?
Greg, for the past year, I wouldn't like to count how many vials of blood I've given out. Now, there is triggers, there is flags showing in my bloods, but I don't know what it is. Is it, I'm working between that many people that there's no notes being dragged together and people sitting down. That's why I've asked for a hospital bed, so that I can lie be sick. I can lie in hospital and be sick. Yeah. My bloods can be done. The right consultants that I need are going to be there. They can then meet up and discuss what avenue or what way we have to go down. Mm-hmm. Because me running from A to B, I can't run anymore now, Greg. Mm-hmm. Since I done the chat in Letterkenny 2 weeks ago, I've since been back to the private clinic in the ENT, which is going to be ruled out, as far as I think that's the way it's going. I have been back 2 days ago to the same man that seen me in 2018. Mm-hmm. I've done a full 360 back around to see him, and he doesn't think it's an oral maxill problem now either.
So in terms of the physical presentation in your mouth, is that mm-hmm. that's gone? Has it as such?
There's still a few things there that do need to be tested. I'm very lucky.
But primarily, my point, primarily, and this is your story, I'm not putting words there, don't get me wrong, Natasha, but primarily this is that there is stuff that needs to be looked at there, but primarily now there is something in your system, something in your organs, whatever it might be, something in your blood that is generally making you feel like you have a constant, very, very bad flu. And is that really what you feel at this point? Yes, of course, we need to see if there's anything further that needs to be looked at to the mouth. But do you think the two are connected, if you know what I mean? Like, do you think the physical... Your physical illness now needs to be looked at almost separately from the oral situation?
No, I think it's still all intertwined. Okay. Greg, along the way, it's come up on what is the only thing that has showed on my MRI scans is that my left thyroid is missing.
Understood.
Without surgery.
Okay.
Wow. Without surgery.
Yeah. They play any
so there is a factor. It's such a small, like you've got so many areas, so many different consultants, and that very small area that need, do you know what I mean? It is all, what's going on with me is all connected.
And the thing is, Natasha, I mean, in terms of even joining a support group, which one would you bloody join? Like, but there are...
I don't know.
Exactly, because you can't even, you know, get something concrete to say what's going on.
No.
But there's an awful lot of people in... and the reason I could say there's an awful lot of people is because I know maybe a dozen people in similar situations to you, Natasha, not with the same thing, but they're not dying physically, right? But there's something seriously amiss. And whatever is amiss is affecting them both physically and mentally, but scans and stuff come back clear. And there's a lot of people in that boat that just want one consultant to go, right, I am not leaving you until I resolve this situation because there's something going on here. But we don't seem to have that tool in our HSE armory, which is... I don't want to dash any hopes or whatever, but you're living this. You know the story yourself. There's too many people like you, Natasha, with different things in this similar situation that are told that there's nothing wrong with you as such. You're not dying. It's not cancer. You should be happy. Yeah. Go home and live the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean? And that's like gaslighting to you because of the hell that you're living in.
Hell that I've been living. And Greg, the whole way through this journey, I feel like I'm like a hot coal. That's what I am. I'm being thrown to one person, to the next person, and I'm really desperate for help, so I am going. Now, I am very lucky since standing up and telling my story, and this is my second time to stand up, Greg. I don't know if you remember, I went to our local newspaper back in the 18th of November 2021 to try and highlight the same story, that the health system is broken, health service is broken. That's 2 years ago, and Greg, I'm telling you now, our health system service is in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not broken anymore. It's a crisis. My story, I'm living it. It's horrible. It's tragic. But there's worse out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very hard to come up and stand up and talk to yourself or talk about yourself in public. But I urge the Donegal people to try do so, because until people speak up, nothing is ever going to be changed with our health system.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's what I feel.
Yeah. A caller wants to know, was it Dr. Swinson that you've seen? But I don't know.
Dr. Swinson is a gentleman. I have seen him many years ago. No, that's not who I've seen.
Okay, a caller says
now,
that
Greg,
poor... go ahead, Natasha, please.
since I have stood up, as I was going to say, and tell my story, I'm very lucky that people have reached out to me now yes. and are willing to take me under their wing, and they are going to help me. And they have told me that, don't worry, I am going, this who has taken me in, I feel as if my angels have sent down a set of warm hands that are going to scoop me up now and look after me.
Do you mean medically, Natasha?
Medically,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Medically, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, we wish you to get your life back, get your family back as you
Thank
want
you,
it,
Greg.
Be able to live the life that yeah. you're entitled to. You're a young person, and yeah. you shouldn't have to endure this. But look, no. Again, I can't advocate enough the importance of people coming together and people speaking out, because it can't be
yes.
it can't
Please.
Be ignored. Natasha,
no,
as I say, I just hope that something is done soon that makes you sort of feel that your life is back and worth living. And I appreciate your time, and stay strong. And I'm delighted that you're getting a sense of warm hands around you rather than you feeling like
yeah.
a hot coal being chucked around.
Yeah.
Best wishes to you
yeah.
and all the family, and have the best Christmas
Thank
you possibly
you so
can,
much,
please.
Greg.
Okay. Take
you
care.
You too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Take care,
okay,
Natasha.
Bye.
Now, as you know, Monday to Friday here in the 9 till noon show, we discuss all the big issues of the day, the week or whatever. We start the conversation, we have the conversation, and we hope to have an impact, which I believe we do. But also, too, we like to have a bit of fun. We like to let our hair down. Now, obviously, when I talk about letting my hair down, I have to be speaking metaphorically, but I think you know what I mean. And we do that most Fridays between 11 and 12, where, and I would love if you more drove the conversation as well, too, because we just talk about things that we can do, things to entertain, distract us, as I've said before in this show. I love doing this show. I consume an awful lot of news. I read most of it, if the truth be told, other than listening to certain programs on the radio. I don't watch any news on the TV. And then really pretty much as much as I can, though I often am working in the evenings as well, I just watch stuff to switch my mind off. And I think it's really important. I think it's important, especially with everything that's going on. If you listened to the news, then you know what's going on in your own community. Do you know what I mean? It feels like we all know someone who's struggling at the moment, or there's someone close to them who aren't well or what have you. And then you go on social media and it's the same stuff again, you know, more about wars and opinions and lefts and rights and all that kind of stuff. It's so important that I think that we give ourselves a break sometimes. That's what I try and do. But also, to some extent, it's what we try and do between 11 and 12. Right now, it is a funny old item. Hello, Shannon. How are you getting on? I take it that's for me, yeah?
Yeah.
Thanks. What was I going to say there? Shannon just walked in. I can't remember what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Can't remember. It was something prolific and important. Something that happens between 11 and 12. Oh, yeah, it's a funny old item. Sorry, it's a funny old item because when I'm out and about chatting to people, and I love to chat to people, obviously, people say, oh, I hate it between 11 and 12. I switch off. And then there's other people that only listen to it, right? So you have to have something for everyone. So anyway, if you don't normally listen, stay on board with us because it's a bit of fun. It's a bit lighthearted. And as I say, I'll be welcoming a whole cohort of people that really don't listen to much other of the programme but switch on for that entertainment between 11 and 12. And that's what, listen, we're all different and we try and appeal to everyone. Okay, let us go to Eamon, who is with us on line one. Hi, Eamon.
Yes, Greg, how are you doing?
I
might be a bit annoyed here. I'm stuck in the middle of a car wash.
Lovely. Is it drive through?
No, it's a pull through. Your handbrake's off, you're in neutral, and it's just taking you through.
What? Where's that? I never heard tell of that. So the car moves?
Oh, that, yeah, it's a chain.
Right, okay, brilliant. That's not why we have you on, Eamon. Come here, you were talking.
No.
You wanted to talk about the bus service from Buncrana.
Yeah, the bus service from Inishowen to Letterkenny. It was taken over there some time back. The old, I don't know, this is an awful. I don't know, can you hear it?
I can't hear a word. All I'm thinking about is you being towed through a car wash. Eamon, I'll let you get through the car wash and I'll come back to you. How's that? Because I want to talk about this. This is an important one.
That's fine.
All right, is an NCT wash or just a regular wash you doing?
No, just a regular wash.
All right, okay. All right, hopefully the car or van, whatever it is, looks lovely. Thanks, Eamon. I'm going to go back to Eamon on that one because, as I said, I can't hear a word he's saying. Never heard of a car being towed through a car wash before, but I live quite a sheltered life. Right, that's all the time we have really for calls anyway, before 11, because I want to mention a few things. We are doing a charity stall today upstairs in the Burnfoot Bistro from until 3 p.m. It's in aid of St. Pio's House in Gallaudary. The White Friars helping mothers prevent abortions. Parents who find themselves needing assistance during pregnancy or after birth. There'll be a market stall. It's similar to a car boot sale, but it's inside. There'll also be tickets available for a draw for a hamper. The first prize is worth over £100 sterling. Now, we're not doing it. I'm just reading it as it was written to me. Hi, Greg. I've been making a real effort to shop locally this year. Well done. I decided to get my mum a Guess handbag, as she deserves it. The price online was the full price, €155. When I purchased it on sale in Letterkenny, it was down to €93. I just want to let your listeners know that there are great deals available if you shop in store and you're helping the local economy and jobs. All right, good call. More things to announce and more comments to come after this break. The Choir of Ages family Christmas concert's taking place at the back of O'Flaherty's Bar this evening, 7 p.m. Entrance fees by donation, proceeds going to Buncrana Community First Responders. The BCFR are a new volunteer group who are training weekly at the moment and hope to go live in Buncrana early next year. And there are some fantastic first responders out there, some fantastic groups. And the one that escapes me at the moment, and I know I've spoken to them in the past, but what they do is, I think it's monthly, they put a post up on their Facebook saying how many people or how many times they've actually responded, because it kind and I think it's a really, really great system, because it reminds you that the early intervention stuff, you know, when someone needs help really, really quickly before emergency services arrive. So it's a really good idea, and any first responders could take a lead from that, I think, because it really drives home the importance of the first responders in a given area. On Sunday at 6 p.m, you can get along to the Loretto Community School Choir Christmas Carol Service. It's for Mary's Meals. It's in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Donation box on the night for Mary's Meals. All are welcome. So get into the Christmas. You have to be in the Christmas spirit now if you can, right? Some people they can't, but some people they can because it is Christmas. Now, there was a really important one I wanted to get to here. They're all important, don't get me wrong, but it was in relation to a friend of this program, and it was a bit of good news, and I wanted to bring it to you. No, I don't have it. I will find it, though. Yeah, I will find it, because it's in relation to someone who spoke on the show before, and it's a lovely... They gave me a wee lift this morning that I needed, and I wanted to bring it to you, but I'll get to that before the end of 11. I might seem disorganised, but it is organised chaos here most of the time. Right, coming up after 11, who is in for That's Entertainment? Well, Sinead Breen is in. She's making her second appearance. I think I was off. She was on with Donald previously. We can't get rid of Michael Leddy. He's going to be here. But why would we want to? He's amazing. And also, I'm going to give away, hopefully, if you answer your phone, €1,000 cash as part of our, as a bonus to our car draw. And what else? We're going to give away a perfume, which is very exciting. And I'm going to give away a hamper worth over €500 thanks to our friends McGee's, who have been on board sponsoring the show today, and thank you so much for that. It's really appreciated. So let's take a break before the news at 11. Don't go anywhere. Don't tune out. Stay with me. I can see you. I know where you go or if you go, and I know when you arrive. We're going to be back in about 4 minutes.